This is the story of Flops E. Bunny and a little girl named Freddy. Freddy loved battle axes and dolls, soccer and every flavor of music, coloring and computer parts. Sitting in the deep woods behind her house while attempting to understand existence, the model of which, in Freddy's mind, was like unto her catastrophically curly hair. Freddy loved all of these equally, but what Freddy loved most of all, besides her family, was Flops E. Bunny. Now, Flops was not just any bunny, for Flops was an heirloom. Flops had been stitched into existence for Freddy's grandmother, who in turn gave it to Freddy's mother, and now Flops belonged to Freddy. All had been well. All had been right. Since the first moment, since the first stitch, until this very moment, when Flops found itself in the imperious care of Freddy. Freddy fell into deep sleep each night, with the patchwork pet in her matchstick arms. Each morning, Freddy would awaken, with Flops somewhere in the bed. Some mornings, Flops would be in Freddy's arms. Some mornings, Flops would be in all manner of locations about the room. Some mornings, Flops would be as he had been. Some mornings, Flops had a wear or a tear. So, without a care, Freddy would merely think nothing of it, skip or snake slither downstairs to find her mother, giving Flops to her mother, who in turn would turn Flops over to her grandmother, who would fix Flops in mere moments. For when working on Flops, time did not stick to Grandma the way it did at all other times. At the very end of their brief reunion, Grandma would inspect Flops, running her care-slowed fingers over Flops, stopping specifically on the ever-unchanged black velvet heart patch at the center of Flops' chest, giving it a knowing squeeze, feeling the bump beneath the fabric, confirming that it was still there. Many days passed. Many nights went uneventful until that one night. The night after Flops got left at Tabitha's house. The night preceding the cartoon-themed birthday party, which had run its sugar-coated course. Freddy was not concerned about Flops' absence. She was capable of sleeping. Flops would be returned tomorrow at school, so no need to concern herself. With that rationality, Freddy slipped into slumber, not giving it another thought, her brain shutting down amidst thoughts of a cataloging system for fish in an aquatic library. The next thing Freddy knew, she was awake with a gasp, the sound of a blade sinking into melon still ringing in her ear. So as she got ready that morning, she told her mother the tale of what had happened in the realm of dreams that night. All the while, her mother spun around the house, throwing life into some kind of order, half hearing her daughter the entire time. After having fallen asleep, Freddy reported to her mother. Freddy had found herself pulled under the bed by a myriad of grotesque stuffed animals. Those lost, unwanted things who had forgotten the joys of being cuddled, too consumed by spite to find new humans. They resigned themselves to taking unprotected ones, keeping them until they were used up. Somewhere in the charred forests of nightmare, they would cast the bodies, never to be seen or heard from again. Freddy found herself pulled through worlds that were threaded together by doors that had been stitched onto one dreamscape and connected to another. Portals from city to space, cathedral to sewer, cave to seaside. Freddy fought, but found herself bound. Freddy said mean things to the smelly bears. Freddy kicked perpetually soaked dragons. Nothing stopped them. All of them urged on by their leader, a stuffed pig they called Petunia, with an eye hanging from a string, half-seared but still able, limping all the while. It was when they came to find themselves in the belly of a bare metal cargo plane, with wings like a pterodactyl and the head like a moose, that they all heard the tin bell ring of a play school telephone. It rang, somehow, out above the uninsulated cabin of the aircraft. All the stuffs in the plane searched high and low, until finally a frog found the phone. That frog listened intently to the receiver that he placed against his head. No ear to take in the sound, but still the frog heard. Then shakily held it out for Petunia in a spaghetti-like arm that could not stop trembling. Freddy couldn't hear the call, merely saw the color pale out of the neon pink of the pig. Petunia hung up the phone with a slam, breathed a moment.
"Flops has found us!"
screamed Petunia. All the stuffed animals began to run about hysterically, seeking out a door, not expecting the cabin door to open from the outside or the lights to go out when they did. There were little cartoonish screams of pain then, gurgles like mouths full of soda pop, thuds of plush bodies hitting the steel floor. One of the stuffs, an otter whose name Freddy did not get, yelled that it had found the door, just in time to thump against the door's frame, blubbering about God and sobbing about not wanting to go out like this. Petunia and the remaining stuffs dragged Freddy through the door over the otter, who had been split down the middle vertically, its stuffing still oozing out in a slow trickle. Petunia and the stuffs staggered through the streets of New York in the 1920s, a killer whale stuff's head exploding, a spray of polyester fiber fluff flitting upon the air, while Petunia piled them all into a bus in a panic. The bus flew through the streets as passengers screamed. Petunia, not knowing how to drive, the swerving getting worse, once the windshield shattered, forcing Freddy to curl up and cover her face. Finally emerging to see three stuffs done in, a velociraptor whose head had been run through on the glass in the windshield frame, a gorilla whose arms had been torn off and its head caved in, the frog who had answered the phone, screaming outside the bus as the back tires rolled over it. Petunia drove the bus into the Washington Square Arch, emerging in the woods of Fantastica, bringing the vehicle to an abrupt stop in that forest which shared a border with any number of magical lands. Petunia took an inventory of his remaining stuffs. Freddy heard it, but did not see them all call out until it got to the squid stuff. That one got halfway through, but then inhaled hard and went silent.
Freddy turned over to watch as the rhino got strung up into the canopy of the trees, a muffled sort of whimper about him. A stuffed reindeer with no nose was next, disappearing with a yelp behind an old oak tree, memory foam rolling out near the tree's roots. Some children's animated show monster freaked out and tried to run, only for a sharpened stick to impale him in his tracks, the point sticking in the grass, while white, thready stuffing gushed down the knotty spear. It was only Petunia, an oversized bear, and Freddy now. Petunia, in desperation, could only think of one place to go. Running with Freddy over his shoulder, the bear close behind, until they reached a great waterfall, which Petunia threw Freddy off of. Jumping in after Freddy hit the water, the bear close behind.
Petunia and Freddy tumbled up onto the valley floor, the valley that Petunia knew all too well, the valley that Petunia had dreaded returning to, but in desperation had fled to the one place that Petunia hoped that they would not be followed.
"This is the Valley of Torrid Pages," Petunia said. "Its smooth onyx walls lead up beyond contemplation. Each day it rains acid. Beneath a sun so bright it scorches and stains even squeezed closed eyes. Each night it snows ashes that smell of those whose stories have been burned, never to be read again. Each day the eyes of the ravenous ones watch you from above the edges of the valley. Each night the ravenous seek to feed. Pray you are not too slow to get caught." Freddy heard the words and thought Petunia a very gloomy girl, which was a phrase she had used all her life, that she had learned from her mother, that had learned it from her mother. It was a phrase that all at once she heard from behind her,
in a voice so gravelly that Freddy could not believe it came from the patchwork bunny that ripped the head off the oversized bear, tossing it to the ground.
"You had to know this would happen, Petunia." Flops strode slow at the pig, polyfill dripping off his paws. You do, I would come for you.
If we don't deserve to be loved,
Petunia pulled a human femur out from amongst the rocks.
Then they don't deserve to be loved either.
Never once thinking you could simply find the ones who were without, Flop said. It's time for you to show the others why you don't take from me.
Freddy watched as the two danced about the valley, Petunias swinging repeatedly, some swings making contact, others flying wildly, all the while Flops waited. Flops was patient. Flops could take the pain. Flops waited for that perfect opening when Flops caught the bone, snapped it over his corduroy knee, and proceeded to stab Petunia repeatedly. Flop's paws moving in blurred fury until at last Flops drove the two pieces into Petunia's knees, headbutting the pig, leaving Petunia broken and gushing fluff from a dozen wounds.
I shall leave you here until the universe swallows itself, whimpering its way out of existence.
Flops stood over the semi-conscious pig,
broken and bleeding, but never unconscious, torn apart, but always right here, for all to see. A memorial to any foolish enough to ever think about touching my Freddy and her family. And do you know why, Petunia?
Petunia merely coughed up fluff.
Because you, my piggy friend, are just a big, dumb, stupid face.
Of all the things Freddy had bore witness to, this made Freddy gasp.
Time to go, Freddy. Flops turned towards the girl. Time to wake up for Waffles.
Flops kissed the girl's forehead, and all at once Freddy was awake. In the hour or two after, Freddy told the story to her mother. Within three, Freddy was at school. In those moments before circle time, when Tabitha returned Flops to Freddy, Freddy couldn't help but notice the scratches and tears. The same scratches and tears that Freddy had noticed in her dream. The ones that had happened while she was being saved the night before. The implausible nature of it did nothing to affect our young Freddy. However, instead, she hugged Flops tight, feeling the little orb deep inside of Flops, knowing that somehow it was hugging her back, before putting Flops in her backpack so that he would be safe at home with her that night. The Black Pearl Anthology proudly presents Flops E. Bunny.